Horseshoes, cornhole, insert your favorite game here. If you miss the mark, you miss the mark. You don't score. Well, there's a guy who almost entered the kingdom. He didn't score. He's found in Mark 12, verses 28 through 34. Welcome to Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. We're continuing our journey through Mark today, and we find ourselves here in chapter 12 looking at this guy who's pretty darn close. But close just doesn't quite cut it, especially in the kingdom of heaven. And with that, we are reminded that this is where we need to be on the mark. And Jesus helps us with all of that. Here's Pastor Chris with today's Abounding Grace.
Verse 29. Jesus answered, "The most important is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There's no other commandment greater than these." What an amazing moment. Love. I want to get to the heart of things. How many fights do we see in Christianity about love? I don't see that on the blogs very much. This was so familiar to Israel. This was known as the Great Shema. Hebrew word for hear here, Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Jesus takes this verse in Deuteronomy 6, verse 4, and combines it with Leviticus 19, 18. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. I read the Ten Commandments this morning, and you all know those are divided, as we say, into the two tables, the love for God and love for neighbor. The first four dealing with your relationship with the Lord, and the rest dealing with your relationship to your neighbor. Very important here, he is summarizing from both those tables and helping us to understand. And at the beginning of every Jewish synagogue service, they would say the Shema. To this day, the practice is still observed. And Jesus summarizes this saying, look, all true religion, all your duties to be performed unto the Lord may be summed up by love. Loving the Lord your God and loving your neighbor created in His image. When you do that, all the other 613 commandments that you're worried about will fall into place. Oh. Now what you'll notice here is that there was no objection to this. This was something that flowed right out of the Scriptures. The Shema always held this important place. So they would say it and they would rehearse it. But the question is did they understand it? Here's what makes this particular section and this particular approach of the scribe remarkable. Listen to what they're talking about. He hears Jesus and he's appreciating the beauty of the standard. Stay with me on this. It's so important to get what's happening here. We hear the law, and we almost immediately say, and we do this constantly. We hear the law, and we immediately say, well, the law shows us our sins. And that's absolutely true. That's the great purpose that Paul said of the law, isn't it? Show us our sins. But I don't think we do a very good job of creating a sense of the beauty of the commandment. So we leave people with the idea, often, that the law maybe is evil or that the law is an enemy. I don't believe we create a sense of the beauty of what's being commanded here and what the law is required of us. And therefore, because of that, we do not understand just exactly what God is commanding. We transfer to the essence of the commandment, not the weight of the commandment, the essence of the commandment, something that is cold and abstract and insincere, and you lose its beauty. It's a wonderful statement. It's a wonderful summary. Oh, how I love your law. This is wonderful. Listen to what he understands. In verse 32, and the scribe said to him, "You're right, teacher." How did he say it? "You're right, teacher. Yes. You have truly said that he's one, and there's no other besides him. And to love him with all the heart, with all the understanding, and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself is much more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. What a response. Well said. Hear, hear, excellent. I reflected on that, and I thought, there's real understanding here, isn't there? This is truly amazing. He's really excited. It's as if he's saying, you're absolutely right, teacher. This is what the law is all about. Love. Others aren't seeing this, but I see it. All the others we have been studying are merely concerned with the externals of the law. They're just worried about the externals of the law. Remember, Jesus hated that. He was constantly calling the Pharisees and the scribes hypocrites for this. But this guy's standing out as somewhat different. This is a special scribe who had a real remarkable understanding of the law. He recognized that the beautiful and the beauty of what's being commanded here is love from a pure heart. The command to love is not simply a duty. Well, we have to do this, right? Love. No. It's not what God ever wanted. No. See, it was something that shouldn't be missed here, arising out of the fact that God is one. Israel knew what that meant. That this God was not like the heathen gods of the nations. He's not just an abstract principle. He's not just one among all the other gods who have equal place, the idols. He's the one and only true God. And when they said that, they understood, or at least should have understood, that he had chosen Israel in a marvelous act of sovereign love and in covenant love and grace, made that and made them his people. The true bond between God and man being love. Love. God loved them. And he was commanding them to enter into that love, to enjoy him, to love him. What a privilege. You get to love God. And there is nothing more shocking than the addition when he says, excellent teacher, you're absolutely correct. God is one. To love him with all the heart, with all the understanding, with all the soul, with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself is more than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. He deserves all worship, and he deserves it all. And in loving him above all, and neighbor as oneself, it's the highest duty that we're called to do. It's the most important thing we're called to do. It's the most wonderful blessing to love God. It's the one thing in life that has more value than everything else. It's the purest act of devotion to have your whole being so directed to God that in everything you show, you love him. Everything of who you are, all your desire, never a waste with all your understanding, never thinking corrupt thoughts, never doing anything that would trample his holiness, to love him with all your soul, all the seed even of your emotions. He says with the mind, your entire minds are his, to be growing in perfect knowledge and giving your minds to know him and to grow in him. He says all your strength, every ability that you're ever given, everything that you're given to do is not for you, it is to love God. That's why you're made. Every circumstance, in every possible way, with your entire being, to love God and love his people, love your neighbor. Show forth your love, living those by those side by side, having their place to you under the sun. Loving even the most unlovable. Loving not just hypocritically, but with words, but actually showing in sincerity acts of kindness and being involved with your brethren who are the most difficult to love. Love. You see, he didn't come to Jesus asking about paying taxes, did he? He didn't come about Levirate laws of marriage, did he? This guy's remarkable. He's not doing tricky side issues and stuff that's just used as an excuse and cop out so he doesn't have to deal with real issues in his life. No, that's not him. He's not worried about how to apply the lesser commandments. He came to Jesus with the highest question and the single most important question that could have ever been asked by a scribe. Something's amazing here. Here's what I love about the enthusiasm of him. I know that the essence of this love must come from where? The heart. It's found in the heart. That's better than all the burnt offerings and the sacrifices. In other words, what good would it be to do all the burnt offerings and sacrifices if love is not coming from the heart? What good? We're supposed to have hearts that love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. You hear the words throughout the Scriptures, something like 1 Samuel. Has the Lord great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. Well, the full summary of the law is what? Love. He gets it. What good is all that if there's no love? I mean, he really gets the law. This is a big moment. He gets the law. See how radically different he is from the others. Disinterested, checked out, in it for themselves, no heart in it. I mean, he knew. This is a remarkable moment. I mean, I haven't seen this kind of understanding in the Scriptures of what just really is being commanded. We really should take time to think about this. Look what he's telling you to do. Here is somebody really different from all the other approaches. The most pressing issue on his mind is, what does God require of us? And here's what he's getting. All. Me. Everything. Let me ask a question. Does that matter to you today? Seriously. If love doesn't really interest you, what other reasons would bring you here? Well, you'd fall into the class of the other people who had some knowledge of the Bible but were coming to Jesus for antagonistic reasons. Picking apart, picking. But if you're a sincere person, someone who really wants to know what Jesus is saying and after, who wants to be a genuine follower of Jesus and sees none of this as false, sees none of this as stupid, who really believes and says, something's really happening here, I see it, who really believes that Jesus is real, who really believes that there's a lot of wisdom coming out of this, then maybe you're a bit like this man. You understand. And you know that being here is all about love. You care about that, right? You know that God would hate it if you really don't have love in your hearts to be here and just go through the motions. You know God would hate that. You know God would hate an absent heart just going through ritual. It's all over the Bible. Because if it's really not about love, you would see no purpose in being here, right? You would just be going through the motions. That would be drawing near with a mouth whose heart is far from him in worship. He already condemned that. But if it is about love, you'd want to be here all day long, right? You'd want every opportunity. I mean, that's Anna in the temple day and night. You understand you were made to love him? So you should love, right? Let me test you a bit. What if I stopped the sermon here? What if I did? Some of you'd feel guilty because you're not even where this guy is. The love of God really is not that important to you. Your heart is everywhere else, but really here. But maybe I got you here this morning. Let's just say I really got you this morning, and you're gripped to this, and you're saying, man, I'm feeling the weight of this. I get what you're saying, Pastor. You got me. He's right. This is about love. What if I ended the sermon here? How would you be? Jesus doesn't stop. Depending on where you are, what happens now will be the most discouraging encouragement you'll ever hear. Get that? I'll explain that. Look at verse 34. And when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, "You're not far from the kingdom of God." Huh? You're not far. When you hear that, what comes to your mind? Should that be taken positively? Seems positive. What if you were standing there, Jesus gives his teachings, you say, Lord, everything you've said is right. We're called to love you from the heart and our neighbor. We agree. And he looks and he says to you, you're not far. Feel good about that? I don't feel good about that. If this were a football field, it's a Super Bowl. You made it to first and goal, man. You're there. You're almost in. Anyone who hears this would say, well, he's come a long way. But he's not in. What's the last step? What I love about him is he's the most sincere man I think I've come across in the scriptures outside of the kingdom. Here is a scribe, sincerely sincere. And others are concerned to put Jesus to the test and are bitter and have their own self-righteousness with all the wrong issues. They haven't even started running. They haven't even started down the field. This guy's almost in the end zone. So where does that put you? Are you close? Have you started running? Your nearness to the kingdom of God and entering that kingdom begins with an understanding, not just intellectually, what the requirement of the law is. Your nearness coincides with what you understand is required from your heart. When you get here, you can't leave unconcerned about love. If you're not running, you'll walk out and it won't even matter to you. But if you're close, you're really thinking a lot about love. What do you make of this? The substance of the law is love. That's he grasps. That's the essence. Is he saved? Well, he may have become saved. Jesus leaves this whole thing wide open. What's he missing? To enter the kingdom, the last step into the end zone requires what? I can't make it. I've been running my whole life. And I get now what this is all about. Finally asking the most important questions. Finally taking this seriously. I now understand what you require. But there's a giant barrier to getting in that end zone. It's a wall I can't climb. That glory is unachievable, no matter how hard and how far I've run. Lord, would you carry me in? I made it this far, but I can't get there. Stop playing around with your life. You and I have not loved God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength one day in your life. Not one. And you never will until something happens. What are we waiting for? Get on your knees and cry for mercy, man. One pastor said his intellectual convictions needed to pass over the influence of his heart and life. And when God's law does transfer over to the heart, then there comes intense sorrow. Those are arrows far worse than the devil's, because these come straight from God and they pierce to condemnation. That's where he hadn't come. This is why Paul says the law was a tutor to lead us to Christ. Wouldn't it be a tragedy if you lived your life almost entering the kingdom and never having entered? Churches today are full of those who have convictions about worship, who have convictions about the law, how the services should be, what our music should be like, and some use these things to stay far from the kingdom. Sad. Others are very sincere. They want to know. They want to understand. The commandment is to love has left them very near the kingdom. But hasn't Mark helped you to see those who enter this morning? If I only touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. That was the woman with the flow of blood. It's the paralytic being carried to him who has no vocal faculties and has to be carried by his friends, and Jesus can look in his heart and see the burden and the sorrow and that he believes and has faith. It's the man who says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And when that is sincerely prayed and he hears and receives it, guess what happens? Well, one of the criminals who hanged there blasphemed him, saying, if you're the Christ, save yourself and us. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward for our deeds. We haven't loved our neighbor. We have been thieves. This man's done nothing. Then he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, assuredly I say to you, today you go into the end zone. Today you'll be with me in paradise. Lord, I'm guilty. Remember me. That's the sum and substance of true faith. And that's what Christ is after. The goal of the commandment is love from a pure heart, said Paul. Jesus says, I'll love in your place. I'll carry you over in that love. And once you've entered my kingdom, you know what's going to begin to happen? That love from a born-again heart. Because it was always God's promise that he would circumcise the hearts of his people. That's being born again. To love the Lord their God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, and their neighbor as themselves. Worship then becomes from the heart when it's done out of love. Your love for your neighbor comes from the heart when it's done out of love. For then, it's no longer about you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we have failed in love. What a wonderful, beautiful commandment. Love. Pure love from the heart. Sincere love that our whole being and all of our faculties, everything would be given to you. And Father, we have failed. And we ask for forgiveness for our sins. We can't run over. We can't cross over. But let no one remain content to be far or near to the kingdom. Let everyone here ask the sincere question of you. Lord, would you give me grace and help and pick me up and lift me into the kingdom in your mercy, that then I would start to, having been saved because of the love of Christ, begin to taste what it is to love you and love our neighbor as ourselves, anticipating the fullness of that in the resurrection when it will be pure. Thank you, Father, for helping us today to understand this. And thank you for encouraging us and for confronting us where we need to be. Your intentions are so good toward us. May we stand in grace always and be thankful for the love you've given to us in Christ Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.
Well, you're listening to Pastor Chris Gordon here today on Abounding Grace. Chris will be back in just a moment. Questions, comments about the program, as always, are more than welcome. We'd love to hear from you. How's the program encouraging you in your walk and relationship with Christ? Reach out to us. Let us know, won't you? Our number is 888-504-8805. Or you can visit us online, agradio.org. Now, that is a great resource to have handy. Not only do we have past programs available online at our website, we also have jumping off points to Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, as well as recent articles written by Pastor Chris and other friends of the ministry. Again, agradio.org. We also would like to remind you that you're a very key part of this ministry, Abounding Grace Radio. Through your financial partnership with us and prayerful support, we are able to continue this ministry, not only on this station, but others as well. So would you please consider partnering with us financially, whether it's a one-time gift, a monthly gift, no gift is too small or too large. Reach out to us again at agradio.org or call us at 888-504-8805. And now, once again, as promised, here's Pastor Chris.
If you're enjoying what you're hearing here at Abounding Grace Radio, please stop by our website, agradio.org. We have put together a large list of resources there for you, not only articles, blog articles, maps to churches, but also you can find all the podcasts and videocasts there, categorized for you by date and topic for you to access at your convenience. Again, that web address is agradio.org. Please take time to stop by.
Thank you, Chris. And friend, thank you for joining us here today on Abounding Grace. Until next time, God bless. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, this is Chris Gordon, pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. I'd like to invite you to our Sunday worship services at 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. We have two worship services, 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. We preach Christ and Him crucified with the goal that you would live in the joy of this comfort in the knowledge of the forgiveness of all of your sins. 1864 North Broadway is the address here in Escondido. We'd love to see you this Sunday.